Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. How many times have we heard that studying the classics is no longer useful, an anachronism? Then out come movies like The Clash of the Titans or Troy, and suddenly everybody is hungry for more. From Star Wars to Harry Potter, references to ancient myths are inescapable. Philip Freeman, professor of classics at Luther College in Iowa, thinks the stories of the ancients hold up today.
It's amazing. I mean, when you go down to the movie theater and there's, you know, so many movies based on classical mythology and history, and you go to colleges and classes in Greek and Roman history, classical mythology are overflowing. And even Greek and Latin courses are doing very well around the country. So I think people who say that probably aren't quite up to what's going on.
Philip Freeman is up to what's going on, however. He updates some of those tales in a new book called Oh My Gods, a modern retelling of Greek and Roman myths. I spoke to him earlier and asked what makes for a modern retelling.
I should probably have called it an old-fashioned retelling, because what I do is I tell the stories as they were first written, with all the blood and sex and gore and violence that is in the original stories. So a lot of modern versions of these stories are really much more sanitized than mine. There's a lot of beauty, a lot of heroism and glory in these stories in the book that I tell. But there is also a lot of things that were left out of the childhood stories of Greek mythology that most of us read.
Maybe you could go through for us one of those stories that we may have heard the G-rated version compared to the way that it was written.
Yes, soon after the creation of the world, when earth and sky gave birth to a whole bunch of children, Sky, who is the father, shoved all of these children, who were the original Titans, back into the earth, their mother. And one of these children, who was named Kronos, got tired of being shoved back into the earth and being trapped there. So one time when his father came to lay down with his mother at the end of the day, Kronos reached up and castrated him, and the blood and everything else went flying off across the world and made monsters and all sorts of evil creatures. That is one of the stories that was left out of the, understandably left out of the original tales.
We can get why.
Yes, absolutely.
What is so helpful about this book for me is that you do these kind of genealogies, charting out how the gods are related to each other. That's one thing I think that easily gets confused. Another thing that I think gets confused is the Greek and Roman pantheon. Can you distinguish that for us a little?
Yes, the Greek and Roman names of the gods are different. So that, for example, in the Greek stories, you have Zeus, and in the Roman stories, Zeus is called Jupiter or Jove.
And are their attributes mostly the same between the Roman gods and the Greek myths?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Romans borrowed the Greek myths wholesale, and they really didn't change a whole lot. The Romans had their own mythology, but it was pretty much lost. They had gods, but they were more like sort of forces that didn't have bodies and didn't have personalities. But so they adapted the Greek gods and made them their own.
Let's go through some of the well-known characters. Zeus, or Jupiter, as you mentioned. Everybody knows the name anyway. The king of the gods, you know, he of the mighty thunderbolts, very tempestuous, very vengeful, very, shall we say, randy?
That would be a kind way of putting it, yes.
Did he use his powers for good, however?
No, most of the time he didn't. Now, Zeus was a god of thunderbolts, a god of the sky, and he was very concerned with hospitality. So you better treat guests right in the ancient world or you would get in trouble. But Zeus seemed to spend most of his time chasing after mortal women and seducing them, or not even seducing them, raping them, really, is what he did.
A lot of the female gods, though they're no slouches, don't seem to fare very well.
No, they don't. Zeus and Poseidon and all the rest are as bad to them as they are to mortals. But the goddesses, the female gods of the Greeks, they're really interesting to look at. And one thing I do in the book is I try to bring out their stories more. Medea is a great example. She is this young woman who is basically a witch, and she befriends Jason and the Argonauts, who are this motley crew who sail over to find the Golden Fleece and really have no idea what they're doing. And it takes this young woman who uses her powers to help out Jason and the Argonauts and save them again and again and again. And then they finally get the Golden Fleece and they sail back home. And then Jason has a couple of kids with her, but then eventually dumps her for the beautiful princess just down the street. And she has her vengeance on Jason for that.
Well, what you're talking about are some archetypical stories. You know, these are things or traits that are attributed to men or women or other people. You know, the love, the lust, the vengeance, the anger. Are these the basis of all stories?
They really are, and that's one reason, I think, probably the main reason why these stories are still appealing to us today. At their heart, they tell our story. They're about love. They're about the fear of death. They're about friendship. They're about anger. They are about all the things that we experience in our own lives at some point or another. And so if you read the stories of the Greek gods, you can find yourself in there somewhere.
There are subtleties and things you uncover in this book that we haven't heard before, as you mentioned earlier. Prometheus, for example, tell us a little bit about him. Now, he had a bigger life. You know, he had a family life.
Yes, Prometheus was a really interesting character. He was actually one of the first generation of the gods, one of the Titans, but he doesn't get wiped out with Cronos and the rest. Prometheus, though, had a real love for people, for humanity. In fact, in most Greek stories, he's the one who actually created people. He brought down fire from heaven. He did everything he could to help out men.
You just said in most Greek stories. So how do you get the story straight here? You must have to look at a number of different sources. Were different authors writing about these stories at the time that they occurred?
Yes, they were. The different authors emphasized different things, and the Greeks weren't really troubled by the fact that they might have multiple stories of, say, the creation of men. It really didn't bother them as it might bother some modern people just to have a single origin story or a single creation story. And so in the book, what I do is sometimes I just have to pick one, but often I will say, well, here's this version, and then here's this version, and you can see for yourself how they're different.
Does any story stand out for you that you just love to tell over and over again?
Well, the story I think that I love the most, and it's the one that I think students in my classes like the most too, is the story of Odysseus and the voyage of this man trying to make it home after 10 years of fighting in Troy, 10 years of wandering the seas and fighting monsters and going down to hell and back. To try to reach his wife and family again. The same experiences that we find in Homer from almost 3,000 years ago are the same ones that our soldiers are going through. I've talked to veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they, during their spare time over there, have read the Iliad, and they say that the weapons have changed, of course, but what the soldiers go through, both in war and then with the story of Odysseus trying to fit back into their communities, is just as real today as it was way back then.
When I was young, I had my gods, and I believed in everyone.
Philip Freeman, I want to thank you for opening up such a big world for us.
My pleasure.
Philip Freeman is professor of classics at Luther College. He updates some of the tales of the Greek and Roman myths in a new book called Oh My Gods, A Modern Retelling of Greek and Roman Myths. And we do have more on the book, including reviews at wordofmouthradio.org.